What if? Then she thought of the long journey in the caravan of camels. Rebecca, child of that land, was not unacquainted with camels or the camel nature. She knew how uncomfortable and even dangerous beasts they were to ride, and the desert they must cross, a region always dangerously dry and so easy to get lost in its ever-shifting sands. And what if? What if the brigands, the roving bands of the Bedouins that preyed on the caravans that passed through their territories, what if they attacked it and captured them? That would make her life too destroyed and sorrowful to live, and she quickly refused to think of such a tragedy. What if? What if those terrible desert sandstorms arose and buried them in their unforgiving sand dunes? What if? What if she contracted the fear desert fever on the journey, the fever that swiftly carried away its victims? Oh, but what if? What if Isaac did not love her and rejected her, or else took her into his lodging but hated her and made her a slave of another wife? What if? What if Abraham looked her over, did not like her, and refused to accept her as a daughter-in-law? And then came the last fearful thought winging into her mind. What if? What if she found that Isaac had died? She was left alone before she ever saw him. For the first time, such thoughts spun through her brain. In answer, Rebecca lifted a hand and touched her ring lovingly, then looked again at her arms adorned with the golden jewels of apprehension of marriage, and banished the haunting thoughts and fears away with a happy laugh. She shouted within herself, "I have no choice. There are no alternatives because I am apprehended already." Lifting her eyes, she looked unflinchingly into the face of Eliezer with a firm voice, those few beautiful words, "I will go." It was an unconditional decision. Whatever happened on the way to Isaac made no difference. "I will go with this man. I trust him to take me safely to my future home. He will teach me many things about this God of Abraham and about Isaac and about the city Lahai-Roi where Isaac lives. He will protect me, for he is wise and knows how to traverse the unfriendly desert. Is not his God with him? And did his God not send his angel with him? I will not fear, because I trust him. Yes, I will go with this man. Ever since I met him at the well, and he approached me and asked me for a drink, I was fascinated by him. There was something indefinable about him, something so captivating in his voice, in his very attitude, that I would gladly do whatever favor he desired. I instinctively knew that I could trust him, and I wanted to serve him in any way I could. As I am only a girl child, there was not much I could do. But there was such a delightful charm about him that I felt that I must do something to serve him. That is why I offered to water his camels. Then, when he called me to him and offered me those golden jewels, and I knew what such gifts mean, suddenly something strangely warm and sweet swept over me, and I found it utterly impossible to refuse to receive him. Yes, I will go with this man wherever he leads me, whatever happens in the way, or to whatever land he takes me. I will not fear. I will not turn back. Mother, Laban, you gave me to choose, and I choose without doubting. I will go. The camels are coming. Genesis 24, verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. The servant Eliezer took 10 camels loaded with provisions and gifts from the storehouses of Abraham. The number 5 in Bible numerology is a number that represents grace. 10 is double 5, or the fullness of grace. The camels are symbols of the means that grace uses to accomplish its purposes. The camels not only carried away precious gifts for the bride and family, but they were to be her transportation from Nahor to Lahai-Roi, southwest of Hebron in Canaan, a journey of over 800 miles following the usual caravan route round about the Arabian desert. Camels would be the only means of transport from her home in Nahor to the tents of Isaac. God uses many different ways and means to accomplish in the believer the grace of his will. Many times the means God uses do not seem wise or right to the carnal mind. Nevertheless, they definitely achieve the divine purpose. When Jesus fed the multitude to demonstrate to the world his creative authority and power, he used a little boy's lunch as a means to that miracle. When the disciples saw the multitude of faces and then looked at the small lunch of rolls and fish, they asked, "What are these among so many?" What? That small lunch? To feed such a crowd? It was neither logical nor reasonable, let alone being impossible. Nevertheless, out of the hands of Jesus, that small lunch proved to be fully adequate to feed them all when it was the means that Jesus chose to use. God certainly could have used any number of ways to feed the prophet Elijah in his hiding place, but he chose to send a raven, a bird considered unclean under the Mosaic law. Furthermore, the raven could give Elijah no explanation at all of what kind of meat it was or where it was procured. Whether it was meat considered clean or not, the prophet never knew. Nevertheless, it adequately fed the prophet as long as he camped by the brook of Cherith. There is no doubt that God could have used angels directly, without Gideon's help, to destroy the attacking Midianite army. However, God chose to use Gideon's small 300-man army, blowing trumpets, breaking pitchers, and brandishing torches as their only weapons. To go into battle with such weapons is totally unreasonable, illogical, and foolish, scoffs the carnal mind. Nevertheless, those few men and their ridiculous weapons proved to be terribly frightening and devastating to the enemy, and won Israel a full victory. God ordered Joshua to march around Jericho 13 times in 7 days, and then to shout and thereby cause the walls to fall. There certainly was nothing reasonable in those tactics. Any general could have told Joshua that he was acting like a fool and would surely fail. But Jericho fell and was sacked and destroyed by the means used by the great tactician, God. God uses ordinary and often simple means to accomplish extraordinary feats of grace. Means so commonplace at times that they seem totally inadequate to the human mind, and reason can see no hope of fulfillment of the divine purpose by using such methods.